Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William M.O. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Doing good, man. Glad to have you on the show as always.
Hey, likewise, as usual.
And I'm glad to have you all, ladies and gentlemen, checking out the mid-season finale of this show. So I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out, the episode, all these years. And, if this is your first time checking out this show, welcome to the show. On this show, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else. And, on today's show, we're going to talk about the Mandalorian season finale. Spoilers, or should I say, there's going to be a lot of spoilers. So if you haven't seen the Mandalorian season finale up until now, you have my permission for the first time in history to not listen to this episode. Stop what you're doing. Watch all 16 chapters, especially the season two finale. And as soon as you reward yourself for watching that awesome season finale, come right here and watch this episode, because there will be spoilers. You've been warned. So we're going to be talking. We're going to talk about the Mandalorian. We're also going to talk about the the Jets and the Giants playing tomorrow. Basically, the Jets are going to be on the road against the Rams, and the Giants are going to be hosting the Browns. We'll even talk about we'll talk about the upcoming season with the Knicks. They're going to start Wednesday night. We'll talk about how they're doing so far in the preseason games, and also the Nets, and also the hot stove with, all the rumors surrounding the Mets and the Yankees. And then we'll as usual, talk, wrestling, what's going on with WWE, AEW, and, all that good stuff. So if you want to talk about any of these topics and more, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk about your thoughts on The Mandalorian, your reactions to the big reveal that was, revealed on the show, or anything that, you feel like you want to get off your chest, feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics or more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's talk about The Mandalorian, man. Let's talk about Star Wars up in here. Yeah, man, let's talk. Let's get right into it. Let's get right into it, man. So, where do I start? Like, man, I mean, you know what? I know how I feel. I'm gonna let you go first, Mac. Cause I got to get off my chest. So I want you to dive into it. I want to know how you feel. I'm gonna let you go first. I'm gonna let you bat lead off.
It was a great episode. It was it was the best episode of the season, I think. I mean, the episodes just kept getting better and better, the last several weeks, with finding out the origins of Baby Yoda, finding out his name.
Grogu.
Grogu having the appearance by, what's her name again? I forget her name now.
Which one, Ahsoka?
Ahsoka. And Boba Fett, and now in this episode, this season finale, find out Luke Skywalker, the last Jedi, he makes an appearance, and that was just epic, man. I couldn't believe it. Like when I saw the Jedi, I was thinking, this could have been some unknown Jedi that we've never heard of, maybe. But then when he just took off his hood and revealed his face, right then and there, I was shocked. I was like, damn, Luke in his prime. I mean, that was just epic. And the way he was just destroying those dark troopers, kind of reminiscent of how Darth Vader, fought off the rebels in Rogue One. Remember that scene? It was exactly like that. And it was just epic to see it. I don't know what else to say. It was just a great episode, just because of Luke Skywalker's appearance.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you hit it right on the head. I did a video on it like a few hours ago, on Sports of the Legend TV, my YouTube channel. So feel free to, listen to that as well, folks, if you haven't listened to it yet. Man, that was like you said, this season was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I loved the first season. I mean, it was great. It set the foundation. They created new characters. They had a lot of Easter eggs and throwbacks to the, to stuff that, fans of the series would recognize. But if you were a casual Star Wars fan at best, you could have just watched the first season and you would understand what was going on. But the second season, man, they just took it to a whole new level. They went deep into Star Wars lore. Like, they brought back fan favorites, like Ahsoka. They brought back Bo-Katan, like a episode, I think, prior to that. They brought back Boba Fett, which they teased it on the first season, you know, when they were in Tatooine, when we thought Fennec Shand was killed. Fans was thinking about that, you know, that reveal, that tease that Boba Fett might have been alive, even though we last saw him, you know, about, what, 37 years ago, getting swallowed by the Select creature in Return of the Jedi, which I think takes place, what, 5 years before The Mandalorian in Star Wars lore. So it was a, you know, very major moment. And then afterwards... and then you of course you got the big reveal that Ahsoka told them that, you know, basically that she, you know, baby Grogu has to be brought to Typhon, I think is the name of the planet, you know, so he could seek out a Jedi. But, you know, there's very few Jedis, so, you know, he's gonna have to seek out a Jedi, and a Jedi will you know, reach out to him. So once they said, I was like, wow, this has to be epic. It has to be Luke, Mace Windu somehow surviving Order 66 and his battle between Emperor Palpatine and Revenge of the Sith. So I was like, it has to be on that level. I don't think it could be a B level. Jedi at its best. It has to be like a Jedi master type of guy. So I was like, this, it has to be Luke. No doubt about it, it has to be Luke. So basically, I was hyped for that episode. I was like, man, I hope it's Luke. So, you know, basically, in that episode, Mando, Boba Fett, they had a, you know, they met up with, you know, Bo-Katan, and, you know, a Sasha Banks character. I always forget her name for whatever reason. I'm going to have to research what's her name. Look up her name, by the way, Sasha Banks character.
Let me see.
So she, you know, her character had a beef with Boba Fett because they feel he's not a real Mandalorian because he's a clone of Jango Fett. So they had a mini confrontation. Then they joined up with Mando. And it was just a phenomenal episode all in all. I mean, like, it was dope. So
is it Mercedes Varnado?
Yeah, that's Sasha Banks' real life name. I mean, real name.
Oh, that's a real name. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see here. What's her name then?
What was I going to say?
Casca Reese?
How you say it?
Casca Reese?
Casca Reeves?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, Casca Reeves was having a, they had a little beef with Boba. And then after they joined forces, then, Mando had the battle with the Dark Trooper after he successfully got rid of the other Dark Troopers. He was battling one. And my only critique with that scene was that, they should have shown the mask getting destroyed, the helmet being destroyed by the punches of the robot. You know what I'm saying? Instead of the wall around him.
Yeah.
That was my only critique of that fight scene. And of course, you know, he beat him with the best Scar armor. And then, you know, he had the confrontation with Moff Gideon, which, you know, I talked about that in my video. And then of course, so basically then the battle troopers, the Dark Troopers, you know, they all came back and they were gonna kill them. And of course, We all know what happened. And then the best moment in Disney Star Wars history happened. And then, you know, they showed that the X-Wing fly by. And once I saw that, I was like, oh, shoot. I'm like, yo, do not play with me, Disney, man. It has to be him. Because there's only one Jedi who has an X-Wing. You know what I'm saying? If it was other people, it would have been multiple X-Wing flyers, you know, pilots flying all at the same time. So right there, that was like the clue. Just like when Boba Fett had the Slave One coming in the episode to confront, you know, Din Djarin, a.k.a. the Mandalorian, for his Beskar armor. That was the first thing I was like, oh, shoot. Like, it has to be him. So then afterwards, you know, they showed, it's a Jedi. I didn't see his mat, his glove, like other people were saying. But once I saw the green lightsaber, I was like, oh, shoot, it is him. And, you know, I was just hyped because I was like, oh, shoot, Luke is back, you know. Obviously, this is, you know, before the sequel trilogy, and we all know what happens, you know, afterwards. But just staying in the moment, it was just awesome to see, you know, Star Wars, you know, longtime Star Wars fans getting that moment of seeing Luke in his glory, in his prime, just destroying the opposition. I mean, it was just awesome beyond words. So then my next thought was like, is it going to be, you know, Mark Hamill reprising his role, you know, via, you know, a CGI or deep fake kind of thing, or would they just recast him as Sebastian Stan, you know, the Winter Soldier from the MCU. So, you know, fortunately for me, you know, when he removed the cloak, it was him. But even then, I was like, okay, that really does look like him. It might be him. Because I was like, it could be Sebastian Stan, too, you know, who for all I know, because he really looks, he's a dead ringer for Luke, you know, during the original trilogy. So that was my thought. And then you had the moment with, you know, with Grogu and you know, of course, Luke and you know, the Mandalorian, and how it, you know, Luke was saying that you know, Grogu was asking for permission to go with him, and it reminded me of the Phantom Menace, how Anakin was asking his mom for permission so he could go with Qui-Gon to start on his, you know, hero journey. So, you know, basically, and then afterwards, before he left, he wanted to see, you know, the Mandalorian's face, which we all know, you know, it's sacred for him to keep his face covered, you know. So just seeing that moment of him being unmasked and seeing his son with his own eyes reminded me of, you know, Return of the Jedi, you know, with Vader and Anakin. So, I mean, it was just a great, great episode, hands down. I mean, a must watch. I mean, the only episode this season I would say is the worst one would be chapter 2, which would be chapter 10. Chapter 10, because each season is 8 episodes. So, and that episode was okay, but compared to all the other episodes with the Boba reveal, and him meeting Bo-Katan, reuniting with Greef Karga and Cara Dune, Ahsoka. I'm trying to think what else happened after that.
Seventh one. Mandalorians.
Yeah, right. The Mandalorians. It's like it was so epic. I mean, every episode. Yeah, even Mayfield. Mayfield had a character arc. Mm-hmm. You know, I never would have saw that coming. Like it, I mean, and then ended up all the way up to this moment, you know, with this with the battle, you know, Moff Gideon and Mandalorian finally fighting it out, and you know how Gideon, even though he lost, he outsmarted him, because now the Mandalorian has a new enemy in Bo-Katan, you know. So I mean, it was just a great episode, phenomenal episode. Can't wait for season 3. And then the even bigger reveal. Actually, on the level, maybe on the level of the hero reveal, the Jedi reveal, and that's the epilogue with you know, on Tatooine, Bib Fortuna, you know, Jabba the Hutt's former right hand man, you know, ruling in his place, because it was shocking, you know. Bib Fortuna was, I mean, I assumed he was dead because he was on the sail barge with all of them in Return of the Jedi before it, you know, blew up. Spoiler alert again. But I assume he died. I don't know how he got out of there, but, you know, somehow he survived. And then he was greeted by Boba Fett, the only way Boba Fett knew how to greet somebody he knows. And he just basically shot him and took the throne, and now he's the ruler of the underworld in you know, in the crime syndicate. So I mean it's gonna be awesome. I mean, we don't know when he came back for Fennec Shand, because Fennec Shand was with the other good guys before Boba left. So somehow they rendezvoused and went to Tatooine and set up the Book of Boba sequel. So I'm pumped for it, man.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see, you know, this next season, if they're just going to dedicate that whole season to Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's the rumor, whether it's going to be season 3 is going to be all about him, or if they're going to fluctuate back and forth between the Mandalorian and him, or maybe even Bo-Katan also, since she's a Mandalorian also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. And then, of course, they, you know, they're going to have the Ahsoka Tano spinoff series, Rangers of the New Republic. They're going to have a lot of spinoffs from this show, man. Now they got a Filoni-verse / Favreau-verse, you know, in Star Wars, man. I can't wait to see what they have in store. Star Wars is back.
Yeah, that cameo by Luke Skywalker definitely redeem the Star Wars franchise, I would say. Don't
mm-hmm.
you think?
Yeah. And remember, I was telling you about this ever since Last Jedi. The only way they could redeem Star Wars was to find a way to bring him back. Now, mind you, this is like 20 years prior to the events of the sequel trilogy. So, unfortunately, we know what happens afterwards. So, unless if they find a way, maybe through the Ahsoka series, she goes to the world between worlds, and somehow alters the future and make it more, you know, better for the heroes of the original trilogy. Everything's gonna end horribly, and that's why people were worried about Grogu, whether he was, you know, there when Kylo Ren turned to the dark side at the temple. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it was like at least about a 20-year difference. You know, Grogu could have left long. You know, he could have left a long time ago. So I strongly doubt he's gonna be. He was killed in that. The scene where Kylo Ren allegedly destroys the temple and turns to the dark side. But yeah, I'm just hoping. Hopefully, they can find a way to like retcon what happened in the sequel trilogy and make it go down an alternate timeline and, you know, try to give the heroes a happy ending, because they had a happy ending in, you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi, and for them all to, everything to just go down horribly like that, it, you know, it's messed up. But, hey, you know, we're just going to focus on the positives. And, you know, they finally, kudos to Disney, kudos to Dave Filoni, kudos to Jon Favreau and all the people who made it possible. Peyton Reed was the director, the same guy who directed episode 2 of, you know, with the frog lady and the spider stuff, which by default was the worst episode. But all in all, it was a good episode. But compared to the other episodes, it, you know, it pales in comparison. So, you know, kudos to everybody and you know who made this episode possible. And yeah, it's awesome, man. I mean, this, to me, I think this might be the best episode ever. I mean, we've had a lot of best episode evers in this season alone. But yeah, just that epic moment of, you know, him mimicking his father and then Maul in the series finale of Clone Wars. I mean, it was just, I mean, it was epic. So the Force is strong, you know, with Star Wars right now.
Oh, yeah, so, no doubt about it.
Anything else you'd like to say about it before we...
No, you hit it. I mean, you hit all the main points. I mean, this was by far the greatest episode of Mandalorian that we've seen, and the best is yet to come. I think it's just going to get even better from here.
Exactly. So they actually did it. They actually got the greatest Jedi to pop up. So, I mean, now everything is possible now. So we'll see what happens next year, 2021. But shifting gears. You know, we're talking about New Hope. So I guess we'll talk about the Knicks. You know, the Knicks. Obviously, they're nowhere near a championship caliber team, as we all know. But you know, the Knicks. They finally look like they have some pieces where they could, you know, have some talented young players to build upon. And, quickly he had his best game, the last preseason game. Scored 22 points, five steals, five assists. I mean, he's making all the critics look foolish because everybody was saying, like, oh, the Knicks drafted him 20 picks higher, at least 20 picks higher than they should have. And so far he's proven the dollars wrong. I mean, obviously, you know, it's not regular season yet. Wednesday is the test when Knicks go on the road against their former rival, the Indiana Pacers, in Indiana. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, the Knicks are right now, it looks like they're 3-1 in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And Emmanuel Quickly, he might be the point guard going into the season. He played real well in the last game. He had like 22 points. It looks like 5 assists.
Mm-hmm.
This guy might be our starting point guard.
I know. He definitely looks like the point guard of the future. And I remember he stood out to me because John Calipari, he was bragging about the Knicks drafting, you know, his point guard. And he was saying like he was hyping it up. He was even one of the broke the news because everybody was saying they were acting like the other team still was holding on to him. I don't remember what it was, the team that drafted him, but he was the one that broke it, gleefully broke it that, you know, that he's going to get traded to the Knicks. So, I mean, you know, once he said that and then I started looking into his stats and all that stuff, I'm like, yeah, Knicks got to – looks like they have a player, you know. But, you know, the way how he's playing, you know, he's living up to how he played in college. So,
yeah.
And to me, I think they should just let the young guys play. Let them start, you know.
I agree with you.
Put Peyton on the bench. I know he was decent for us last year, but let these young guys, you know, they could be like the Brooklyn Nets before they had KD and Kyrie. You know, just let these young guys, you know, develop together, and that's the only way they're gonna attract free agent talent. You know what I'm saying? Like we gotta focus on ourselves, because Clark Kent is not coming to save us, man. You know what I mean? None of these players wanna come here. You know, so until we turn it around, that's when teams are gonna be buzzing, because there's people out there that don't even know the Knicks used to be good, because they've been growing up in the 2000s on, and they know that the Knicks are synonymous with losing and being a laughing stock in the league. You know, they don't know about the 90s Knicks, how the 90s Knicks team was the glue that kept the whole New York sports fandom together, unified. Because, you know, in sports, you got the Mets and the Knicks. They're the Mets and the Yankees. They're divided. You got the Giants and the Jets. They're divided. You got the Rangers, Devils, and the Islanders divided. But when it comes to basketball, 9 out of the 10 fans in the city are Knicks fans. The percentage is a lot smaller now since the Nets have Kyrie and KD, and the Knicks have been, you know, a laughing stock for God knows how long, you know, practically as long as I known you, basically. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's good that they have a head coach in Tom Thibodeau, a guy who was there as assistant coach during the Van Gundy era, the last great era of the Knicks. And he's there to just pilot the ship, get them back to where they belong. What's your thoughts?
I think going forward, you know, you definitely need to start some of the young guys, you know. And Knox played real well in some of the preseason games as well. So
exactly, he should get a chance to start too. Get his confidence.
I don't think he should start. He'll be a good. I think he should continue to come off the bench, provide that energy. Right now, my starting five would be Mitchell Robinson.
Yep,
at center. Keep Randall at power forward, small forward. Start Toppin at a power forward, small forward. Shooting guard have Barrett, and then point guard have Quickly.
Quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my starting five right there.
Yeah. I think I have to agree with you. I think I would have preferred to put Knox in front of Randall, but you know, Randall is the guy, the big money guy, and you wanna he's the more polished player, you know. Yeah. So I get the I mean, in all cases, I think you're right, to be honest with you, because if it works both ways, if you have Randall starting, he could provide a spark for the team because he could score, but if you want to trade him, his trade value would be at an all time high. So starting him would not be the worst idea. You actually have a point there that he should be starting.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, he can score, just needs to minimize his turnovers.
Yep.
But, you know, he's a talented guy. You know,
yeah,
he's not a bum.
Yeah, they definitely shouldn't give him the Enes Kanter treatment about them, like, basically benching him for no reason. The dude was like 25 years old. Yeah, the dude scored. He grabbed rebounds, but then they just benched him for no reason. And then they wanted to get rid of him. Like, he had no trade value because they didn't even play him. They stopped playing him for no reason.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you made a good point. You convinced me, because I thought Knox should have played. You know, he's a young guy. You know, give him the confidence. But it does work better if Randall stays in the starting lineup, and, you know, just have Knox come off the bench and, you know, produce that way.
Yeah, we need that guy bringing off energy, you know, off the bench. I think Knox can do that.
Mm-hmm. But they do look promising. I mean, I love the hires that they've done in the front office, the head coach, the coaching staff. You know, the young players could develop and you know, really get into this defense, you know, believe in the defense. You know, they could be a decent team. I mean, dare I say maybe even a 7 or 8 seed? I mean, I think that's their ceiling right now, you know.
Yeah. I guess
so.
Making playoffs.
So they just need to share the ball, play defense. You know, don't take too many stupid shots, and they have a chance. You know, so, I like the potential of this team. But we'll see what happens on Wednesday night. So yeah, so shifting gears to the Nets. The Nets, they won their last game, and I don't know if you saw it, but what's his name? Kyrie. Before the game, he was doing like some shaman voodoo like thing, sage stuff, like on the court of the Boston Celtics court before the game.
What?
Yeah, he was like, he took like some incense stuff, and he was just like flinging it all over the court, I guess, to get rid of bad spirits or whatever he thought he was trying to do. Like, that was kind of
weird,
but I mean, they did win. I guess it worked for him. I guess, I don't know. It was just
Kyrie is becoming weirder and weirder.
But
and you know, he says he's not going to talk to the media this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been anyway, for the most part. Yeah, they're going to be hosting the Warriors Tuesday night in Brooklyn. And then they're going to face, Celtics in Boston on Friday night, on Christmas, to be exact.
Yeah, KD looks good. KD's playing some defense. You know, he looks like he's fully recovered from that ACL injury.
Yeah, he has. I mean, that's a miracle. He's healed so quickly, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to go through some hurdles, you know, down the line towards the end of the season, you know, trying to adjust to a regular season. Well, I think the season's cut off, right? It's like 72, right? Instead of the 80, what, the 80 season?
So. I'd have to check.
82 season or something?
I think so.
But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, that's a good sign for the Nets. Oh, yeah, by the way, also the Knicks, they're going to host the 76ers the night after Christmas on Saturday. So that's a notable thing for the Knicks. And then the following day, the Knicks host the Bucks with Giannis after Giannis became one of the millions and millions of superstars who plays the Knicks. And signed a huge deal, 5-year, $225 million contract. No surprise there.
So he's not coming to the Knicks. For you Knicks fans
nope.
Who wanted him.
So no more rumors about, oh my goodness, they're gonna get Bronny James to come out in 5 years to come with his daddy to play for the Knicks. I mean, let's end all these rumors, you know. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to come out of retirement, play for the Knicks. Like, we're just going to squash all these rumors, you know. Funny thing is, the Knicks had a shot to try to get him, but the Bucks traded him to LA, and the rest is history. But that was, you know, many decades ago, of course, in the 70s. The last time the Knicks won a championship, but I digress.
Yep.
But speaking of teams that haven't won a championship in over 50 years, my Jets. Let's talk about the Jets, man. How they're gonna be hosting the Rams, and I'm trying to remember last week is when they got their butt handed to them by the Seahawks. No surprise there.
Right.
40-3. No, I mean, no surprise there. I mean, it's exactly what it's like that. The coach. I'm trying to remember the coach who said it. They are what we thought we were. They were what we thought they were. It was a black coach. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Oh yeah, that was
Dennis.
Teddy.
Dennis something.
He used to be with the Patriots and Browns.
Are you talking about Carnell? Romeo Carnell?
Yeah, wasn't that him? No,
I don't think it was him. I think it was another coach who said that, like, they are what we thought they were, or something like that. Let me see if I can find out who this person was, man.
Wasn't it Romeo?
It
was Dennis Green. Dennis Green.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
It's Dennis something. I just can't remember the last name. Dennis Green.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go. But yeah, exactly, man. Like, what do you expect, man? We all knew the Jets were gonna get blown out in that game. And then the weeks prior to that, they had tough breaking loss to the Patriots, the Chargers. They got blown out by the Dolphins, and then they had that heartbreaking loss to the Raiders nearly 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, what can you say about the Jets that hasn't been said before? I mean, they're doing all this just so they could get Matt Riddle. I mean, Trevor, what's his name?
Trevor Lawrence.
But seriously, man, that dude does look like Matt Riddle.
Well, right now, the Jets, so tomorrow they play in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, this is going to be another tough test.
Yep.
You know, the Rams, they're 9-4. They're heading towards the playoffs, and they're playing real well right now. You know, they got their running game going. I mean, the passing game has been inconsistent, but, you know, it can go off at any minute. So I think there's going to be a lot of points scored on the Rams side of the ball tomorrow. And
mm-hmm.
we'll see how the Jets fare against that.
That's a loss. But, yeah, switching to the Giants. Giants are going to be hosting the Browns. The 9-4 Browns is going to be a tough test for the Giants.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough test. I mean, Giants, they don't want to go on a losing streak here because, you know, right now we're competing with the Washington football team for first place in NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we were to lose tomorrow and the Washington football team to win, you know, they would be in first place, sole first place of the NFC East. So we got to win this game tomorrow somehow.
Yeah, hands down, man. You know, you got to defend home field, man, even though you're facing a tough opponent, man.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got to defend our home field. So hopefully they play much better than they did last week. Hopefully Daniel Jones has a much better game. So hoping for a Giants win tomorrow. But it's a tough game because the Browns are good this year. Very good.
And then the following week after that, 2 days after Christmas, you're going to be battling a team you're very familiar with, the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why that's why it's important to win this game tomorrow. You know, because we have the Ravens, and then we
the
end
Cowboys.
With the Cowboys, who we could I could see the Giants winning that game. So
mm-hmm.
but tomorrow's games is very important.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So yeah. We'll see what happened with that for sure. I guess MLB. Let's go to MLB. The Mets they officially signed James McCann. They had the press conference on Tuesday, and basically, you know, James McCann was basically saying like, his major goal is to try to win multiple titles for the Mets. So, you know, we hopefully that comes to fruition. I think the signing is very promising. You know, obviously, like I've always said, I wanted Realmuto more because Realmuto is obviously the better player of the two. But I mean, James McCann, he really wants to be here. You know, he explained how he improved, you know, offensively and defensively. You know, he had that drive to be to be a better player. And most importantly, the pitchers he played for, Lucas Giolito, who he threw the no-hitter with, and, Dallas Keuchel, you know, they've all sang his praises. They love pitching to that guy. I think he was even Giolito's, number one, catcher. Even though they signed Grandal, I think it was what last year or was it two years ago? I think it was last year. They signed Grandal. I think James McCann is going to be a great fit with the Mets. You know, he could be like the modern day Paul Laduca. You know, be that fiery, impactful catcher. That you know carries the city on his back.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah, I could see him being a Paul Laduca type player for the Mets.
Mhm.
But I think he'll have a good season with you guys.
Yeah. They signed him for a 4-year, $40 million contract. Yeah, I think he'll be good for the Mets. But
yeah.
Most importantly, the Mets have to sign George Springer and hopefully Trevor Bauer. George Springer is non-negotiable. They have to get George Springer because he's going to improve every dynamic of the offense. and defense of the team. He's the best center fielder available on the market. You know, he's the best hitter on the market. He's going to be the best defender to, you know, shore up that the center field. Like, I mean, they need that guy. They really need that guy in every possible way to improve this team.
Yeah,
they have to get
him.
I want Bauer here, but Bauer, man, he's just teasing. He's teasing with everybody. He just wants attention. I think he just dropped a video yesterday or today about should he sign with the White Sox. Like, I mean, he's flirting with everybody. The Mets, the Angels.
He's like a hoe. You know?
He's just flirting with everybody. Like, I mean, come on, man. It's like, you know he's going to draw this thing out. He's not going to sign with a team until opening day, man. Like, unless if you promise him he's going to start opening day, he's not going to sign until opening day. It's like, it's getting to this point. Like, you know he's not going to sign until at the earliest next year, you know, January. This guy's going to sign, like, in February. Like,
yeah.
This guy's milking it. Like, if this was old Mets wouldn't have never had nothing done. Mets wouldn't have gotten McCann. They wouldn't have signed the May or all these other people. They would have just been waiting and waiting for Realmuto and Bauer to make their decision and not make any moves whatsoever and just say, oh, you know, we're just kicking the tires. We spoke to him the other day. And then they don't end up with nobody. Because then they weren't willing to spend the money. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Springer and Bauer. That kind of rhymes when I think about it. Springer and Bauer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they definitely need those guys. And hopefully improve the bullpen with Liam Hendricks or Brad Hand. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But those two guys, I think they should definitely get the aforementioned guys. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happened with the Mets. Obviously, you know, the Yankees, their number one goal is to re-sign LeMahieu.
Yeah, I don't know what's taking so long. I mean, sign him already. I mean, just,
mm-hmm.
just you know, this thing is just being – It's, I don't know. Just go ahead and sign him already, man. I'm taking too long with this. Dragging
would,
it for no reason.
What would you rather? Here's a tough question. Which one would you rather? Re-sign LeMahieu or sign Bauer?
Re-sign LeMahieu.
I would agree with that. Even though Bauer, I mean, he's, you know, obviously he's a phenomenal pitcher, but Yankees always have the resource to try to get another pitcher,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yeah, LeMahieu, he fits the offense perfectly. He gives them a dynamic that they don't have. I mean, the only second player that I'd say is closest to him on the team would be Gardner as a leadoff spark type hitter, instead of all the other guys swinging for the fences all the time. So I mean, they definitely need to, you know, re-sign LeMahieu.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, and I guess Gardner as well, since he's a free agent and, you know, he should be his last year with the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a cheap deal, but, you know,
yeah, of course,
I honestly think Gardner, it's time for him to retire already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love him, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think his days are starting to, his best days are behind him, you know?
So who would you want? Do you think the Yankees should go after Jackie Bradley Jr. or just stay within for whoever they're gonna play in the outfield?
They got guys right now that they could have playing the outfield. I mean, they got what's his name, the young guy, forget his name, the redhead.
Frazier.
Clint Frazier. I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Yankees fans have been calling for him to start for a long time now. I think
mm-hmm.
it's his time to shine.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, yeah, Bradley Jr. would be a serviceable player for us, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I love Frazier. I'd want him to start.
So he'd be a good fourth outfielder?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, any of the teams, basically, for sure. But, yeah, I guess shifting gears to yeah, there's two news I gotta cover. I gotta cover the Henrik Lundqvist news. I don't know if you heard about that, and also the Negro Leagues. I don't know if you heard of the news about the Negro Leagues.
No. What's the news?
Yeah, basically, Rob Manfred, you know, basically said that he's admitting the Negro League players into the major leagues. So their stats count as major league stats now.
Really? Wow. So that's going to change everything.
That is going to change everything. So the question is, are they going to go full, you know, born and literally include all the stats, like basically, like they include the players, but by including all the stats, the MLB is going to be different. Like Josh Gibson would be the home run hitter, or would be the home run leader, because he had like reportedly 800 home runs, which would surpass Barry Bonds, obviously Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth. So are they going to go, are they just going to add the players, or are they just going to, are they going to go full born and, you know, go full born and just add them, add everything to the major leagues?
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work out. That's going to be very complicated.
Yeah. It is going to be complicated because major leagues is gonna, it will literally never be the same. The stats. And it would have been nice if they would have done this decades ago when a lot of these players are still alive, because unfortunately most of them are passed away. So it would have been a lot better, you know, if you had, you know, these iconic players, you know, still around to at least be there. I mean, we do have some great Negro League players who are in the Hall of Fame. I mean, when you think about it, most of the first ever Negro player, you know, black players at the time were Hall of Famers. You had Jackie Robinson. Larry Doby. Willie Mays, of course. Every first ever black player ended up being a Hall of Famer when you think about it, if you look down the line. So I mean, you know,
interesting.
So yeah, it's gonna be interesting what they're gonna do with the stats, if they're gonna, that's official as well. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then on to, you know, NHL hockey. Henrik Lundqvist, you know, after he signed the contract with the Capitals after leaving the Rangers cut him, you know, after he was on the team for 15 years. He signed with the Capitals, and now he just recently found out that he has a heart problem, so he's going to sit out the rest of the year. He's going to sit out the year in hockey. So, you know, this could be career threatening, you know. So, you know, I wish him the best, you know, if this is the end of his career, or if he's going to come back after, you know, come back after next year and try to, you know, restart his career and, you know, with a new team. So, I mean, you know, best of luck with him. I mean, he's an icon, and, you know, hopefully, you know, wish him the best.
Yeah, that's
a recovery.
That's, I mean, that's very serious, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
But, hoping him a speedy recovery, and if it is career-threatening, I mean, he certainly has had a great career.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as a Ranger, so.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, best of luck to him.
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't even get a chance to play with the Capitals after he signed with them.
Wow.
But he did say that you know, after his playing career is over, he would go back you know, to the Rangers. So I wonder if that deal would still happen. I mean, I don't know if it would instantly happen after he just signed with the Capitals, if he would maybe spend a year or two with them, you know, behind the scenes and then go to the Rangers. Time will tell. You know, he signed a 1 year, $1.5 million contract with the Washington Capitals. But, you know, because of the heart condition, he's going to miss the entire hockey season, the entire NHL season. Yeah, we'll definitely keep you guys posted on, you know, whatever his decision is. But shifting gears to WWE, on SmackDown, the Kevin Owens show was basically him getting beat up by the Usos family. The whole entire episode, you saw it.
The SmackDown?
Yeah.
Let me see. I saw bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, but the bits and pieces you saw were basically Kevin Owens getting beat up by Jey Uso and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, so that and what happened on SmackDown? I can't even remember what happened today.
Sasha and Carmella confronted each other.
Oh, yeah, that again, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And having that Chamelier dude, you know, attacking Sasha Banks, distracting her. You know, like he's her butler or something. You know, Master William. You must think he's Jeffrey or something. But then Jeffrey wouldn't stand for that. You know, he he's wisecracking. That dude wasn't doing nothing except interfering. But I think Bayley beat Bianca Belair, if I'm not mistaken, in the match. But on Raw, you had Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt confronting each other, battling each other all over the place.
Oh yeah,
that was
the highlight of the night, pretty much.
Yeah, that's gonna lead up to tonight's Inferno match.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, I know. This pay-per-view was, like, way out of the place. It's like, they could have held on to this or did this earlier. It's like, darn it, I'm not going to give these people, you know, Christmas break. I have to work. It's like, come on. Like, this is, like, so out of place. Like,
yeah.
This should have happened, like, last week. But, yeah, so let's get into this TLC, what you think. New Day versus Hurt Business. Now, I mean, I'm thinking New Day has to win again, but I mean, come on, Hurt Business got to win a title for a change. So I'm gonna pick Hurt Business and look like a fool again.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna say Hurt Business. I think they're gonna win the titles.
They have to.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. They're gonna have the numbers because MVP is gonna be in the, you know, MVP is gonna interfere. They don't have Big E anymore, so even though it's a 2-on-2 matchup, you know, MVP is gonna make his presence known.
Yeah.
The referee's not looking. Then you got Sasha Banks versus Carmella for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Sasha is definitely gonna retain it, even though they're teasing Carmella is gonna beat her.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Sasha to retain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if she has any problems, she could call on Bo-Katan to help her out.
Yeah.
I mean, Bayley ain't going to help her out, so.
Yeah, I think Sasha's going to retain it. Even though they're teasing Carmella might win it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Carmella eventually will win it, but not at this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Then you got Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, tables, ladders, and chairs match for the WWE Universal title. Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns
is definitely going to retain it. Like, yeah. Let's be real here.
Roman Reigns can win it, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler is going to be fighting Asuka and a wrestler to be named later because Lana got hurt, which I think is messed up. Like, they've been pulling up Lana to go against these girls, and then when they finally have the opportunity, they injure her. Like, come on, man. They're definitely punishing her because Rusev left to AEW.
Yeah.
Lana's on her way out for sure, the way how they're treating her.
I'm going to go Asuka. Asuka and
The mystery person?
Well, the mystery person, I think, is going to be Lana.
You think it'll be Lana even though she's supposedly hurt?
Yeah, I think she's faking it.
No, she's not. I mean, she's not faking it. She just would try to fight even though she's hurt. I think she's really hurt. No, I mean storyline purposes. You saw what's her name stomping her hand.
Well, yeah. I saw that, and then Asuka comforting her. But I think somehow she's gonna miraculously recover from that injury, and she's gonna help Asuka out in that match.
Yeah, I think Lana's gonna fight, even though her hand is she's gonna fight basically with a broken hand, because when Shayna Baszler, you know, breaks your arm, you're out. Your arm is out for, like, Lord knows how long. So I think somehow she's going to find a way to come. If she's not capable to fight as they're saying, she's going to interfere in the match and help Asuka and whoever's the mystery opponent win. But I think it might be Lana as the mystery opponent, and she's going to fight even though she's injured. And, you know, they're obviously going to target that arm, but she's going to persevere through the pain. Then you got probably the match I'm more interested out of all of the matches, and that's the Fiend Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton in the first ever Firefly Inferno match.
Wow. I would say I'd go with the Fiend because that's his match, so he has to win that.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think he would win it. If it was regular Bray Wyatt, I would say Orton's going to win, hands down. Like at that WrestleMania match they had.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the Fiend is going to win this. And then last but not least, you got Drew McIntyre defending the WWE title against AJ Styles in a tables, ladders, and chair match in their first ever match against each other one-on-one. Drew McIntyre will retain.
This is going to be a good match, but I'm going with Drew McIntyre to retain.
Mm-hmm. Even though he's going to have almost, you know, the black ninja dude in his corner.
Yeah.
But Drew McIntyre is going to win anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else happened. Trying to think what happened in the other stuff, AEW and what was it? AEW and NXT. It's drawing a blank. I can't even remember. It's a blur to me what happened. What's his name? Karrion Kross, he returned. I can't remember anything else. I think that's when he was attacking Damian Priest, I think. I can't even remember. It's like so much. It's a blur.
Yeah, and it's the NXT.
AEW, I'm trying to think what happened. I'm trying to think what's the memorable thing that happened on AEW. Man, I can't even remember. I saw both of them. I can't even remember. Well, I guess that's about it. I can't even remember. But anything you'd like to say?
Well, everyone just have a happy holidays. Stay safe. And, yeah, just have a great Christmas. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. And, happy holidays.
All right. You're the guy. Hope you guys have a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, you know, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah. You know, just hope you all have a wonderful and blessed holiday season. And I hope you guys have a happy New Year's as well. We'll come back in a few weeks in January. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Ramo. I'll see you guys next year. Peace. And may the force be with you.